This morning's passage is John 1, 29 through 42. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter.
A world where people know what they're called to do. Having a world where people know what they're called to do. Wouldn't that be much different than the world we have now? Because now people seem to, you know what, today this is what I like. Today this is what I'm going to do. Today I'll make my commitment here. Today this is where I'll have a relationship. But tomorrow, it might be over here. We have a world that commits that way, don't they? One week it's this, and the next week it's something else. And if that doesn't fit, then I'll change again the week after that. You see, John, the baptizer, as weird as he was, okay, if you don't think he's weird, that's okay. But I do. He wore camel's hair. He lived out in the middle of the desert. He ate grasshoppers and honey. I'm not signing up for those meals, if nothing else. He was a little different, wasn't he? But you see, John had a very clear idea of what God's calling was for his life. John says that his calling was about revealing the Messiah, the Christ. He says, "I know that's what I have come for. I know that's what my life is about." He knows that. And he knows that that's what he's there for, to point other people, as he says in this passage, to the Lamb of God. The one who would be our sacrifice. The one who would repair a broken relationship with a God who loves and cares and has compassion on God's creation. And John says, "Look, there he is. And this is exactly what I have come for. To reveal the Christ." You see, he gives a reason why he knows that Jesus is the one to save people, doesn't he? He says, I was told beforehand that there would be one who would come and I would baptize him. And as I baptized him, the very Spirit of God would descend from the heavens and fall upon him. And I knew that when that happened, that would be the Lamb of God. That would be the Christ. That would be the Messiah, the one anointed by God to save the people of God. John has a very clear idea of who he is and why he's come. And he says, I know this is the one. But you see, John goes even a little bit further, because I think some of us, when we're called to testify about something, we're hoping that we've only got to testify once, don't we? I mean, if you were to receive a subpoena to appear in court to testify, are you not hoping that it can be over all at once in one day? Not come back a second day to testify? Or maybe even a third day to testify? No, I hope it's all over at once, don't we? Want to be done with it. But you see, John understood that to testify was not a one and done. Because even on the second day, when he sees Jesus, he says, there is the Lamb of God. He wants to tell again, and he wants to share again. You see, we need that same kind of excitement, don't we? Yes, Lord, I'll tell my neighbor, but don't ask me to tell him twice. Hope they listen good the first time. Hope the people at the rec center that I walk with only have to listen to me testify once. Right? It may require a second day. I didn't hear once about Jesus Christ and I was sold. I needed to hear more than once. I'm so thankful that John was continued. Now, the exciting thing about John, too, is that even as he tells on more than one day, at some point in time he disappears. And is not really seen in the Gospels much more until we get to John's death. He kind of disappears because he realizes pointing out the Lamb of God is more important. Do you not see that it's his disciples that are with him? It's not Jesus' disciples. It's John's disciples. So on more than one day, John is willing to explain Jesus' place for bringing salvation. On more than one day. Folks, we need to be able to do the same thing, don't we? On more than one day, we need to come and explain to people, there is the Lamb of God. There is the one who will save the world from its sin. There is the one that will restore and repair and rebuild a relationship with God for you personally. Folks, we need to be about telling that everywhere we go. We need to be about sharing that everywhere we go, because there are lots of people out there that have never heard. Even though we've got three churches on this street, there's still people in this town that have never heard about Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? After Christmas, we were spending time with Deanne's parents, and they've been here, but they didn't realize there were three churches right close together. And they were like, really? I said, yeah, the Presbyterian church is next door, and across the street from that's a Methodist church. And right around the corner is another church, and go up the road this way, and there's another church. And do you realize there's still people here in town that need to hear you say, as John the Baptist did, There goes the Lamb of God. There's the one who can save the world from its sins. Do you realize that? And so many times, and I'm guilty of it too, all I'm trying to do is get through the day. I just want to make it through today. And hopefully tomorrow, maybe I'll be a little bit more upbeat and I can do something else. And John didn't even care that his disciples wanted to follow somebody else. He says to them on the second day, there goes the Lamb of God. And the disciples of John had a desire to know where Jesus was staying. You ever really paid attention to what's going on here? Jesus is walking along. In a way, it's maybe a little bit comical because these two people are following him. Wherever he goes, they're following him. And finally, he turns around and says, "What is it that you want? Can you tell me? We just want to know where you live." Now imagine if we were to do that in today's society. Follow somebody around and, "Hey, what do you want?" "Well, I just want to know where..." "Oh, I'm not telling you where I live." You're pretty creepy. And you see, these two disciples of John are following Jesus because they want to know where he abides, where he lives, where he resides, where he stays. They want to know. Why do they want to know? Because there's something there that they want. Do they even know how to really answer his question? Because he says, "What do you want?" "Well, we just want to know where you live." Is that what they really want? They want to know. John has told us twice that you're the Lamb of God. John has testified and said that you are the one. Show us. Give us some more details. Explain it to us some more. We want to know. Now, one of the things that tells me is that they trusted John. They really trusted John. Because when John said, "That's the Lamb of God," you see, they knew that picture. They knew that picture about the Lamb that would save them. They knew that picture from the Exodus. It's the blood of the Lamb that saves you. Only those households that sacrifice a perfect lamb, one who's not scarred or blemished in any way, and take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of their house, only those will be saved when the angel of death passes over. And they believe what John has to say. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one to save us from our sins. This is the one that we need to know. This is the one that we want to find out where he lives, how he abides, how he acts, how he does everything. And what does Jesus tell him? "Oh, just follow me home. Come and see. Just come and see." You see, Jesus knew what they were looking for, even when they didn't. Jesus knew exactly what they were looking for. You see, each person has to make their own decision to abide with Christ. Each person has to make their own decision to abide with Christ. I can't make it for my wife. I can't make it for my children, my grandchildren. I can't make it for my parents or my brother or my sister. Each person has to make that decision on their own. Do you want to follow Jesus and find out where he abides? Do you want to find out what that means? Do you want to find out how your sins can be cleansed? Do you want to find that out? Are you willing to pitch your agenda for the day and follow Jesus around to find out where he lives? You see, we do have people in this town that have never made that decision. And there may be some of you right now that have never made that decision. Being a church member doesn't mean that you get a ticket to heaven. Doesn't mean that at all. I know people that believe that. I'm a member of a church, so God has to accept me. From my home church, there was a time that they were trying to find out which people were still wanted to be active members. And they asked the deacons to call all the members of the church, even those they hadn't seen in 10 or 15 or 20 years. Do you still want to be active at the church? As I called people, I heard people say no. And I said, can we remove your name from the church membership roll? No. It was as though they thought that was some kind of ticket. You see, it's not the people that stayed somewhere else, but it's the people that went to find out where Jesus abides who were saved. It's the people that followed Jesus that were saved. It's the people that, even though they didn't know what they really wanted, were able to say, we just want to know where you live. We want what you've got. We want to experience the depth of an incredible relationship with God. We want to experience and we want to know how you take away our sins. We want to know that and we want to experience that. Folks, I'm asking you today, have you done that? I know many of you can come to me because I've spent personal time with you and you can tell me, yes, I've done that. I've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and I've accepted what he can do for me, that I can have a relationship with God. But I also know that some of you did that many years ago, and it's not as fresh anymore. And maybe you need to refreshen it. Are you willing to deepen that relationship with God? Because God wants that more than anything else. We were reading in Sunday school, and there was a whole bunch of has been done and have been done's in the scripture we were reading. God has already given you grace. God has already given you strength. God has already enriched you with spiritual gifts if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as your Savior. It has been done. Now is time for those of us that has been done. Now it's time to testify. Now it's time to get out there and find those people that don't know how to live with Jesus and maybe don't know how to ask the question of what they want. And there are some of you that need to make a recommitment. That this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to abide with Jesus. I like the Greek word. Because the Greek word means to stay with. It doesn't mean to go visit. It doesn't mean stop by for a short drink. I was getting ready to say tea, but we're not in England, are we? It's to stop by and have tea and biscuits. Sorry, I read too much English stuff. To stop by and have some coffee and some coffee cake. That's not what it means. Abide means to stay with, to continue with, to go on with at all times. Not just 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. Is that what your relationship is with God is like? I'm asking you today, do you need to start by trusting Jesus? Have you trusted in Jesus as the one who takes away your sin? Have you trusted in Jesus as the one who takes away your sin? If you can answer yes to that question, are you continuing to abide in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Not just an occasional visit, but an abiding, a staying with, a continuing with. Is that the kind of relationship you have with God? Let's pray. Lord, there are so many in this world that don't even have a hint of what it means to trust you as the Lamb of God. And many of us have done that already. But maybe we need to refresh that decision. And then, Lord, we know that there are some within our presence here today that have never made that decision. And we know that as we leave this church, that we will meet others who have never made that decision. May we abide with you in such a way that they will look and say, "Where is it that you live? Where is it that you worship a living God? Can I follow you so that I can learn too?" Lord, may we be those kind of people. Because what you've given to the church is love and peace, comfort, grace and mercy, forgiveness and strength, spiritual gifts, and the world really needs those things. Please, give us the boldness to testify as John did on more than one day. Give us the boldness to abide with you so that we might teach others how to do the same. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.